Welcome to the Anal Podcast Wednesday one-on-one segment. Today, Rochelle will be taking the lead, and she is going to be doing an interview with Jacob from Jacob's Bipolar Adventures. Don't forget to like, subscribe, review wherever you found our podcast. That's how we get noticed, and we love to get noticed. And you can find a link to Jacob's show in the show notes below. Don't forget to show our fellow podcasters some love. It's a crossover, baby! Sit back and relax and enjoy the Anal Podcast. Woo!
Welcome back to the Anal Podcast. Today is a special, special episode because you are stuck with me, Rochelle, and it's going to be a good one. Today we are going to have a conversation with my new friend from the podcast, Jacob's Bipolar Adventures. Jacob, in case you missed the subtle reference, his podcast focuses on experience with his mental health. So, in case you didn't guess it, that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's get into it. Hello, Jacob. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jacob. I am the host of Jacob's Bipolar Adventures, and they are my adventures with bipolar disorder type 2. Happens to be comorbid with ADHD and attentive type, and I describe it as basically how I perceive life, how I perceive the things I go through the lens of my disorders, recognizing that, you know, everybody else perceives things through the same disorders just a little bit differently, but this is the way that things are through my lens, through my eyes, and hopefully people can connect to that and get something out of that, and at the end of the day realize that they are not alone, whether they have my disorders or whether they're in the mental health community in general. The point being, you're never alone. Being out there and just saying, hey, I have these disorders is, you know, really to say, hey, you know, you're not alone out there. And I'm owning my disorders and being very vocal about it.
It's pretty awesome to listen to. Me and Mike were listening to a couple episodes on our way up to go camping a couple weeks ago. And just listening to it, he was like, you know, I really do have some different perspective on how to deal with someone in his life who is also bipolar. And he was like, that perspective just really gave me a whole new insight of what this person close to me could be dealing with. So I highly recommend you go check it out. It's pretty awesome.
Well, thank you. That means
a lot. You're welcome. We are going to talk about work, something that we all have to do. Because we're stuck in our capitalist society, we have not made our millions of dollars yet where we can all live on the pod yacht. That hasn't happened. So while we're still there, you know, we have to either you have to go into the office or work from home or do something, you know, for around 40 hours, if not more, every week. And, you know, sometimes it's difficult. It's difficult to just manage your everyday life when you are dealing with different struggles in your mental health, and working can usually, it doesn't make it better. It only makes it a little harder. And we were chatting about some of those things before we actually started recording. And I think one thing we should start off with is the more an employer says that they care about things, or the more that they are pushing it in those like weekly meetings or town halls and all that, all the feel good type of stuff of, we care about your work-life balance, or we care about your mental health. And then we've come to realize that those are usually the employers that are kind of the worst about it. What would you say your experience is like with that, Jacob?
Every time I've worked for a larger employer, it's always been a worse experience when they say that they want to work with your particular disorders, usually because your disorder also counts as a disability, technically. I've had one employer who, it was a major healthcare system that I was working for, and my direct manager said, you know, I had a husband who has bipolar disorder, and I guess the red flag should have been that she said had, but
yeah, you know, subtle.
but she, has bipolar disorder. I know, what it looks like, and I sympathize with that a whole lot. And you know, I've got your back, yada, yada. And I was like, okay, I feel a lot safer now. I feel a little bit more free to kind of express what I'm going through on a bad day if I need to. That wound up to not be such a good thing for me. That wound up stabbing me in the back at the, you know, towards the end of a better part of a year. And I was like, wow, it turned out not to be such a good thing to be so open with management about this at a larger place. But it's not like it actually ever really went well at a smaller place either.
Yeah, that is definitely true. I've had that experience mostly at larger places. And at first it's like, oh, I can relate because I have this in my life or I have that. But really, it's you're not talking to the person, you're talking more to the corporation and to their attendance policies or whatever things that they have in place that really just make you a number. You're their cog, you're there to put out work and whatever it is, meet whatever goals and metrics that they have for you.
Mm-hmm. I always kind of felt like you might as well put that imprint a barcode on me like you've put a barcode on the printer. We're one and the same. I just happen to be human.
Right. Yeah. That's definitely how it feels. And it just felt almost, it feels worse when you're sitting there in those like monthly, like big meetings with the whole department and everything. So like positive. And they're saying things about, hey, you guys, we really care about you. And we want you to have a very fulfilling life outside of work. And really, you'll have less than 12 hours before you have to go back to work the next day. You can't do that. That doesn't really make sense. So it seems like you were saying earlier, it's all just kind of lip service so that they can say, yep, we did the seminar, we covered it in the meeting, we said that we care.
Yep. And that's all that needs to happen, so that way their PR person can just say it if ever it came up for some reason.
Right, yeah. Well, we right. said that, you know, we even provided you with this resource. We provided you with this emergency counseling number that you can use 3 times or something, which is something else that we were going to talk about is you've made that journey into finding a therapist and you actually have one. Things are going well. You're, you know, actually wanting to go back instead of dreading going back to your therapist, which is a whole other thing. You start getting kind of comments like, you need another appointment? Didn't you just go like 2 weeks ago? Like, well, yeah, that's kind of what therapy is. You go every 2 weeks or every few weeks. So how has your experience been with that type of thing?
Well, and now the new thing with my new, you know, psychiatric provider, I'm not sure how that one's going to pan out just yet because I have a new employer that I'm working for and now it's a new psychiatric provider. So now it's a whole new ball game. I've had in the past, you know, definitely and that larger employer that I was talking about, that larger healthcare system I worked for, they were kind of like, wow, you have to see your, you know, psychiatrist again in 2 weeks. 2 weeks? What do you have to see them in 2 weeks for? You know, it's a medication thing, okay? I can't help it. We have to. I'm being observed, okay?
Right. It's not just a once appointment and then you're done. It's a continued relationship. And I think that sometimes when they provide that like emergency counseling service that you can use 3 times, it kind of is that attitude towards like any kind of therapy appointment. Like, you mean you haven't done it yet? Like, you're not like perfectly fine? You went 2 times.
When you're a psychiatric patient, like your life can be demanding sometimes because you can, you'll have your appointment for your actual med check with your psychiatrist. You'll probably have a therapist appointment because you'll also need to have therapy. You'll probably have to do blood work every now and then because whatever medication is your core mood stabilization medication is probably requires checking your blood levels every now and then. So you're busy as a psychiatric patient.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something where a lot of employers are really excited about how much time you need.
Right. Yeah. We kind of talked about that a little bit last week on the podcast, was just how, you know, as soon as you are, you make it known that, you know, you have some kind of condition, whether it is with your mental or physical health, you're usually just the first one to get the axe. You're on the chopping block because they don't want to deal with you because you aren't going to be performing as much or as well as someone who hasn't said that they have any of those issues.
Yeah, and then you're the one who accumulates the least vacation time.
That's true. That is totally true. And you're probably one of the ones that needs it the most, you know? I really... At every job that I've been at, I've always said, like, sick days are for mental health as well. And you don't have to be, like, vomiting to be using a sick day. If I'm having anxiety so bad that it feels like I cannot get out of bed, I'm using a sick day, you know? Whether or not that actually went in my favor or not was, yeah, not great.
There are some people who can get so anxious that they will vomit just at the thought of going out.
That is true, yeah. Having, like, different mental health things do also affect your physical health. I know that towards the end of my last job, just between working from home and just not having any break, it felt like everything was just blurred together. There was a couple days that I just, like, was sitting at my desk, tears streaming down my face for no reason, because I'm like, I just cannot do this. Like, that was the point where I was like, okay, I can't do this job anymore. Like, I really need to quit. That was the same employer mm-hmm. that was like, we're definitely here for you, whatever you need. And I'd be like, I need a day off. Well, actually, can you send out this wire first? Can you just do this real quick? And be like, no. No, I cannot. I don't know. Have you had those similar type experiences where you need just a day off? You cannot function. There's yeah. just no way. And then you end up getting kind of like, well, are you really sick? Are you really using a sick day for being sick? It's like, yeah, my brain is sick.
I was working for government agency that it works for social services, and it was depressing me so much. It was like just during the midst of COVID, we were working from home and hearing the stories of the persons that, you know, that were clients of ours. It was so devastating. There were days where I would just get done with work and I would just sit on my bed and I would just cry and I would cry and I would cry just because it was... I had no one to just really talk to about it. And they said that, you know, the company the whole time that you're training says that they care in some like loose, vague way, but you don't really know how they're actually going to take care of you. And it turns out they never do. And
right.
So I had nobody to talk to about it. I had nobody to talk to about it during the day. There's no real way to knock off that steam. And they, you know, started getting like, why do you have so many appointments? What is going on here? And I'm like, listen, man, like, do you not know where we work?
This is destroying me. Yeah.
Did you all die inside?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's why they're still working there.
These stories are absolutely destroying my soul. And I don't know, like, my soul doesn't die. My soul just cries. So, like, I guess that's a curse.
Well, I guess, yeah. I guess it's called empathy.
Yeah, this horrible empathy thing that I've got.
Right.
If only I could be like you and just not cry when I hear these stories about families that can't feed themselves over Thanksgiving.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
see, that's, and during, yeah. Oh, that's awful. When we first started working from home, March 2020, and there were so many people that were unable to work, either, you know, when things started getting shut down to the point where, like, all restaurants were closed, things like that, all the servers, bartenders, dishwashers, all those people who are, you know, mostly living, like, either week to week, the other week for their paycheck, just suddenly, you know, had nothing. And I worked at a commercial bank, and in their lending department, And I was just doing these million-dollar transactions day in and day out. And it felt so just, like, wrong and felt slimy after every day of, like, there's just this, like, weird money concept that I'm supposedly moving around, but then I look over here and I see that there are actual people who have nothing, and it felt so gross. I always felt like I had to just disassociate myself, like, throughout most of the day. That's a terrible way to spend, like, 10 to 12 hours every day, is just feeling, like, completely disassociated from yourself. So it is a good thing to keep that empathy.
Especially since during all that time, even when the Federal Reserve's rate was down to 0%, they still didn't lend to the people who needed it the most during the whole crisis. They were just, nah, we're not lending to those of you who really need it right now. That's all just pretty much frozen. It was like, wow, all right, don't loosen up the liquidity for those who really need it. That's just, that's fine. You guys
do
you.
Yeah. But then there's this company that needs to do a transaction so that they can buy Twitter. Yeah, let's give them millions of dollars. All right, here we go. And that's how every day was starting to feel. And it was just bad. In a single word, it was just so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely hurts to see that. And I think that there are so many people in those industries who just completely fail to see any reason why anything like that would hurt. And they also fail to see why it would hurt anybody who would have a mental disability, or they fail to see that even mental disabilities exist. They know it's in the handbook somewhere, but they think it's a useless paragraph, and they're not necessarily sure if the rules apply to them anyway.
Right, yeah. It's almost like someone just coming up to you and being like, have you tried not being anxious? Like, oh, I didn't think of that. Oh my gosh, have I thought of not being depressed? Okay, problem solved.
Did you try thinking about a field of flowers and puppies?
Have you tried some positive thoughts?
Listen, here's a list of positive affirmations. I want you to just look at this and tell me you're not depressed, or tell me you're depressed now. Just look at this and tell me you're depressed. I bet you can't do it.
And after looking at these affirmations, don't you want to just keep on working? No.
Oh, yes. I'm so excited now. My spirits have been totally lifted up.
So when you started recording your podcast and putting it out there in the world, was it kind of a feeling of like, oh, I wish I could just do this and this only?
Like broadcast only? Just like only broadcast? And yeah, I wish that I could. I wish that I could only do that. That would really be, I have always wanted to just be able to just put all of my energy towards one thing. And so it would be wonderful if I could do that.
Yeah.
But it's so very, very difficult, obviously, to make that happen. We're swimming in a very vast ocean full of, you know, a lot of really, you know, good and quality podcasts with very interesting content and really interesting ways of delivering that content, and others that are, but you know there's a lot going on, so it's hard to, you know, make that happen. But I would love to.
Wouldn't that be amazing to actually do something every day as work that was just something that you truly enjoyed and that you could do, you know, from your own passions, instead of something that you just kind of have to go in because you need the money to pay the bills, to buy the food and pay the rent.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, you would have to have, I've always thought, where if you had enough capital to really throw at it to break even, you could actually really get somewhere in maybe a year or two.
But
without actually having, like, a whole lot of money behind you. But since I do not have such money, it is what it is. But
been a pretty good creative and just overall outlet for you, especially during all the lockdowns and not really being able to see anybody in person during 2020?
Oh, absolutely. It's been like, there were weeks where it was all that I could get out because I couldn't get out, if that makes sense. It was all that I could put out and actually really speak because I couldn't actually get out and be around people. And I couldn't do much more than just like, you know, call people, maybe text friends, call family sometimes. But screaming into the universe, I could also do that.
It helps. It really does help just putting your thoughts down and saying them. I've always really loved journaling and writing, but once you can say it out loud and speak it, it kind of makes it a little bit more, like a little bit more real. Like you're actually getting it out. You're saying it out loud, and it does feel better. I can definitely say that.
Yeah, it really does feel better. And it, you know, I don't necessarily know if it was life-saving, but it was definitely a great way of channeling energy when I didn't have any other way to do it. And again, it was one more way of just saying to people who might have been in the same situation, hey, I'm also locked up in here. No one else to really talk to, nowhere else to really be. It sucks for me right now. Here's some stuff that I've been thinking about.
I think it's awesome. It's a truly look forward to like Wednesdays whenever we're going to record, and whenever I have to like work on a Wednesday or something, I'm so mad. I'm like, no, I don't get my weekly time to rage to, you know, whoever wants to listen to my words on the internet.
But it is great. It is awesome that people will actually stop and listen, and people who I would never expect to, if I like actually look at the demographics breakdown and I'm like, who wanted to listen to me in Turkey?
Right?
That's interesting. Cool, you know? So it's interesting to see that. And it just makes you feel just a little special that maybe even one person in Thailand was like, well, this is fun. And it's like, okay, someone in Thailand thought that this was fun. Even just one person. And you're just like, that's kind of, you know, I'm honored that they even took maybe 5 minutes to listen to something.
Right? It is pretty cool to think that even though there are struggles that we go through and things that are really, really difficult, you put it out there in the internet and it can just find its way into all these people's ears, and someone on the other side of the world can say, yep, me too, and now I don't feel so alone. And that is freaking awesome.
Yeah, it makes me very happy, because that was like my lowest bar, is like, if at least one other person listens to this, then it's not a fail. Like, at least one person listens, then I've touched one person. I've gotten it out there to say, hey, at least you're not alone. It was the podcast that I wanted to make, because when I was diagnosed as bipolar type 2, I needed this podcast that I made, one where I related with somebody who is bipolar when I didn't know anybody who I could relate to. I turned to podcasts to try to find that sort of podcast where I felt like I related to somebody, and I really didn't land on anything. I'm sure if I looked hard enough, maybe I might have found it, but I really did dig and I just couldn't find it anywhere. So here it is now, and I hope that that's what people are getting.
I found it, and I am not bipolar, but I could certainly take away plenty of things that you were saying that I could relate to, and that I thought, I was just like, yep, me too. I completely understand. And I'm so happy that there's somebody else out there struggling in the same way, but so happy to have found, you know, another person.
I think that's kind of a, I don't want to say a good thing, but kind of a inclusive thing about having bipolar disorder type 2 and also having ADHD and attentive type is that you can find me talking about being depressive one day. You can find me talking about having features, expressing things about my ADHD another time. You can hear me talking about some of the things that come from hypomania. Some of those things are anxiety. Some of those things, are common with anxiety. Some of those things are common with having anger, being, having some rage issues. A lot of the things that people would identify with having GAD or having a depressive disorder, you can readily find identified within bipolar disorder or within my ADHD. So I try to make it inclusive for everybody.
Yeah, you've done a really great job with that, that's for sure. What's one thing? Okay, so we talked a little bit about like going into work. You've got this big corporation that you're working for, blah. And then on another hand, we have like podcasting or just broadcasting, doing interviews, stuff like that. And that is kind of like a dream job. You know, it's working for yourself. It's being able to set your own time and work when you have, the available like mental capacity to work and not when you don't. No, I lost my train of thought again. Train go.
Derailed.
Dang it. I don't even know what like derailed me. I just looked down at my notebook and I saw a coffee stain and I was like, coffee. Oh, geez. I'm a very professional interviewer. Anyway, all I was going with that thought was somewhere like being able to make your own schedule, being able to take a week off if you needed a week off and saying, hey, there's not going to be an episode dropping this week or something. That to me just almost, that sounds like a dream.
It would be so nice. It would be an absolutely heavenly thing. I think that there was a time in podcasting and a time in YouTube shows where if you got in there early enough and established yourself early enough, then, that was when you became capable of doing something like that. Now mm-hmm. It's a whole lot harder to get to that status.
Yes.
As a person who would attempt or would be an influencer, essentially, because if you're not already an established celebrity of some caliber or some category, then you're essentially trying to start at the bottom of building an influencer sort of status or brand or whatever lingo and starting from scratch like that, trying to get on with different production companies and studios and everything like that, getting to a top, that's a challenge. That's a much more difficult than when these things were new.
Yep, that's definitely true. This is kind of weird and random, but I've even gotten like DMs on Instagram or something where it's like, do you want to buy some followers? For just $10, you can get 10,000 followers. And I'm like, what the hell? I don't want 10,000 random bots on my Instagram. That's weird. Get away from me. But I know that for some people, it's probably like, oh, yeah, I need some interaction or something. That to me is just a bizarre concept of like, you can just buy 10,000 followers. Weird.
You can buy 10,000 bots from Russia. Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Right from Russia. They promise they won't try to infiltrate your computer.
Now I just have this like weird picture of like little nanobots or something like ticking on like coming inside of your house.
It's like you don't know what those bots are up to, what sort of mischief you're allowing to happen. You're just buying these little programs. I don't know. I'm not trying to start conspiracy theories about bots. I'm just saying,
I'm not quite sure if I know what a bot actually is. This is where I need Mike to come tell me. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
Good question. I don't know. I don't always
like to put out to the anal listeners.
What sort of experiences have you had with anything that you have within your own work life?
Well, now I can say that things are much better and different. I basically have been working in banking since 2007 up until this past January. Actually, it was pretty much terrible, like the whole time, but just different degrees of terrible, you know. And I think that over the years, I just kind of told myself, like, you know, this is just what you have to do. This is part of life. And like, it should be this hard or something, but it really shouldn't have been that hard. And things especially were difficult over the last, I would say, like 5 years or so. There's just a lot that happened in my life personally. And once I started actually seeing a psychiatrist and I got diagnosed with PTSD and also pretty bad anxiety, was when I was like, oh, maybe this is why it's been so hard. Even just like the difference from working in an office and then moving to work from home made a huge difference for me, where at first it felt a lot more, not relaxing, but yeah, I guess relaxing in the sense that like I was in a safe environment all the time. And so I didn't have to have that like kind of edge, that like the spidey sense that's always like going around, going like, okay, make sure that I can see all the exits at all time, make sure that, you know, I know exactly who's in this room, and just being super paranoid and hypervigilant all the time, which can be pretty exhausting. So not having to do that at home was really, really nice. 2020 brought its own challenges and everything too. And I finally just got to the end of the rope and was like, fuck this, I can't do it anymore. So I quit altogether and decided to go back to school.
And how's that going? Because I really liked that interview, by the way.
Oh, thanks. It's going pretty good. I mean, I don't think I was really ready to do anything else until, like, I don't know, until I just, like, had, like, the right support, the right people in my life at the right time. And now I just continually feel like I'm exactly where I should be every day. You know, I don't feel like...
That's fantastic.
It just feels so good. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah, that's great. No, I love that.
And I can't wait to do all these, like, at school, we have, like, turkeys and duck buddies. Sometimes we have different dogs and cats there that are getting different procedures done. So we have to go in early and basically just scoop a lot of poop and do things like that. Yeah. And change the hay. And I am so excited in the morning. I'm like, it's my animal care day! Get to go see the bunnies! Yeah.
Walk in. Oh, this is bullshit. That was a bad joke. No, it hit home a little bit because I had to do a little bit of work that I would consider to be something a vet tech would be better at, and it was very frustrating for me to have to do at the time. My ex and I had a... We had a, why am I forgetting the first name of this gecko? Dang it.
Some kind of gecko.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Gecko. Yeah, why am I forgetting the name of the gecko? Forget the variety, it's just a gecko. For the sake of time.
I have a general
time,
lizard in my
until
mind.
Until I can actually remember. Yes, okay. It turned out that the poor thing had a calcium deficiency.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, the poor thing nearly died.
Oh, poor baby.
So, I know. Took her to a vet. This vet happens to be like a specialist in geckos. Mm-hmm. I don't know how we found one in Midwest Indiana in Evansville. You know, well, actually it's, you know, Southwest Indiana here, but like, you know, Evansville, how you find a specialist in lizards here? But we did. And she saves this gecko's life essentially, but we have to take the gecko home, and there's a calcium supplement we had to give her. There was another, you know, fruit supplement that we had to give that also had more calcium in it. There was an antibiotic that I had to administer, and there was that it had to be done into her, right into her tricep.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I have to do this. I have you I have to administer this into her tricep. Do you understand how hard this is going to be? Like, just to actually even make her stay still enough that I can administer this into that tiny little tricep.
That's pretty wild, actually. Yeah, doing an injection to a tiny little lizard. That's got to be kind of scary.
Yeah, I had to keep them frozen and then take them out and let them thaw out. Took about 5 minutes to thaw out. After like 2 weeks of it, I was a pro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then tragic ending of the story, my ex stole the lizard.
Aw, what the heck? After you had to do all that work to keep it alive and give it injections, I would be pissed.
I was, I was the one that nursed it back to health and then gone.
Boo.
But I have a very healthy leopard gecko now, and I absolutely love it.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, we talked about doing just like different exotics. Like different clinics that you could go to for exotics, and they are expensive. My goodness, that's quite a specialty to be in if you're, I guess, wanting to make some money in the veterinary world.
Yeah, she was lizards and birds.
Yep.
Like, were her things on top of just your standard thing. Apparently, she could also do cats and dogs just fine, but also like lizards and birds.
Oh, wow. In the same like practice, they had them all there.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
She was like something else. I was like, what in the world? How do you do that?
You go to school and you make a lot of flashcards, I guess. Well, that's what I'm doing anyway.
Like, I was like, how saddled with student loans must this poor veterinarian be?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'm just going to probably declare bankruptcy at some point and hope that I can throw my student loans in. Because this is America, dang
it. That's
the thing,
you can't. You can't.
Hey, no, they're soon. I think their student loans are going to be eligible for bankruptcy. So I'm just really holding on to that hope.
Oh, is that the fix they're going to do now?
Yeah.
If you can, instead of forgiving the student loans, we can discharge them in bankruptcy now?
Woohoo! Yep, that's what I'm waiting for.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's okay. I guess we can compromise with that.
Too funny.
That's fine.
I really want to say thank you for joining me. I had a great time talking, and yeah, I hope that you will join us sometime on our roundtable discussions. That had a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely. I look forward to it.
All right. Well,
and thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Bye, listener. I don't know how to end.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for our Woo segment this week. I would like to thank Jacob for stopping by our show for this week's Woo, and look forward to having him pop in on a roundtable. Do you think you have what it takes to do a Woo? Let's see. Go to anchor.fm/analpod and hit the message us button and give us your best 1 minute audition, and we'll see if you have what it takes to Woo. Don't forget to like, subscribe, review wherever you found our podcast. That's how we get noticed. We love to get noticed. Give Jacob some love too. His show notes are in the link below. And stay safe out there.